Welcome to the Dragon Pistol Rugby Pod. My name is Sean. I am joined by Mike. How's it going, mate? All right?
Very good, my friend. How are you?
Better than I was Sunday.
were you hungover, were you, mate?
I was hungover. So, yeah, myself and Mike went out, finally, to celebrate his birthday, watch the rugby and the football. And I was normalised by 9 o'clock, so... Let's go home early, didn't I?
I was out to 11, mate, just saying.
It's well hard, mate. You're better, harder than me.
Yeah, obviously.
Can't handle it anymore, can I? Can't handle it anymore, so... Yeah, decent. Decent. It was a good day, though.
Where'd you wake up, mate?
Woke up face down on the living room floor with a blanket over me, because I think I'd just... I asked my missus if I fell over, and she was like, "Nah, you kind of just made your way onto the floor." Because she can't pick me up. She's only like 5'1", isn't she, or 5'2". She couldn't pick me up. So she bought a blanket with me. It was just like the worst thing was like waking up being all like dazed and confused and wondering if I was in the right house or not. And then like going up the stairs, like bounced off the walls up the stairs, finally got to bed. And then rough all day. You came round to see me. I was still rough. That was what? 3 o'clock?
Three-ish, came to see you about three.
So just about over it now, mate. Can't do it anymore.
That's what happens, mate. You're getting old, mate. You're getting old.
Trying to drink like I'm 21.
So I was like, obviously, I was sent to my, I had a KFC, didn't I, about 7, which soaked a bit of the booze up and helped me out. So I wasn't too bad on the Sunday morning. I managed to get out on a bike ride, so I was all right. Paz, who was with us, the other lad that was with us, he said he was rough as well on the Sunday, but he still went out running, nutter like. But it was a good night. It was a good night.
Yeah, I just ran down the stairs. Yeah, it was brutal, mate. Brutal, but good times. Nice to see a bit of sport out. Nice to have a beer with everyone. It was decent. Obviously, we were out for the Lions-Japan game, so we'll get up to that in a bit. Obviously, there's a few bits to talk about. I went first last week, mate, so I'll let you go first with whatever Scottish news you have.
Well, yeah, I got just a few bits, nothing too groundbreaking. First one, I suppose, is Hugh Jones. He's been linked with a move to Harlequins. Obviously, they've just won the Premiership. I actually think it'll be quite a good move for him. The way they play, very much like throwing the ball around and with the like making line breaks, and you know, you've got Marcus Smith at 10 who just wants to play rugby. And I think Hugh Jones going in there at 13 would be a really, really good move for him. I've not seen anything official yet. It was just on, I think you sent me the link to it on...
Yeah, it's Rugby Pass, I think.
Rugby Pass, yeah. So I generally think that's a really good move for him. It'll be interesting to see how he does if he goes down there and plays in the Premiership. But the way they play, if Harlequins are going to back it up next season as well, you know, a player like Hugh Jones is only gonna improve them. James Lang gets a game at Harlequin, so Hugh Jones will walk into the team there. I know he's off to Edinburgh, right? But
it depends where he plays, though, because 12's the big South African bloke.
Yeah, he's not going to play 12. 13.
Well, Joe Marchant's plays 13 for me.
He's there, and he's wing as well. Does a bit of both, doesn't he? I mean, he can do fullback. That's the thing, though, Hugh Jones.
That's what I'm saying.
Who's the guy that played fullback? Tyrone Green. He looked decent as well.
Yeah, he's very good.
Competition, but, you know. It's a good move. Bit of form for Hugh Jones. He's a good player.
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, I think he'll take... I don't think he'll take whatever he wants, but... You know, it's a good move. It's not a bad move going to the new champions, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't think he'll knock it back. I'm pretty sure he'll probably get a decent enough wage, wouldn't he? So, yeah, decent move.
Yeah. Moving on, what was going on? So, the other one is a bit of a rant, I suppose. So, I think Hogg has been seen off a little bit by Exeter, by Rob Baxter in particular. So... Like, I get he got dropped for the semi-final and they won, and Jack Noll played really well and so did Cuthbert and O'Flattery and all that saying. and everyone's saying like Hogg's been dropped because his defence isn't good enough and these guys are playing better. And I just think it's like a bit of lack of loyalty by Baxter to Hogg. Like Hogg is the Scotland captain and goes away and does his, you know, plays in the Six Nations and comes back every week. And if any, he doesn't come back and put his thumb up his arse. He comes back and he tears it up for Exeter when he comes back and plays. And they always say about how professional he is when he comes back and he always wants to play and do things like that. And he's done it for him for the last like two seasons doing that. And like to be dropped for the semi and then the final, and Hoggy's a big game player, is just like for Noel, who played well in the semi but has hardly played any rugby and had a stinker in the final, you know, and for Cuthbert, who to be fair has missed most of the season for injury and then what happened in the final got injured and had to come off. I just think, like, for me, I think it's just like a real, like I said, lack of loyalty by Baxter. And he's just, I think he's thrown Hoggy under the bus a little bit. Hoggy came on and he was quality when he came on. So, all right, he got a reaction. But he would have got his reaction the way he did by him not playing in the semi and then starting him in the final. So, I just, for me, it stinks. I think it's really poor by Rob Baxter. And I generally feel sorry for Hogg. Obviously, I'm a big Stuart Hogg fan. But, like, he's a class player. And I think he should have started in the final. Big game players. You know, players like Hoggy can win you games. And I just think he's thrown him under the bus a bit.
I've got a theory on Hogg. And I thought about it today. Obviously, when I was thinking about the podcast and stuff. And obviously, Rob Baxter said his form's kind of dropped off, hasn't he? In those sort of words. Not them words. But he's kind of said...
He said in one game, the other three offered more in that one game.
Yeah. And I think my theory is that I think he's feeling a bit, I think he's played too much rugby. He's not used to playing that much rugby. Because I know he had his first season, but they had the break for COVID, didn't they? And then they played a lot of games, but Exeter swapped the team around basically every other game, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then this season it was a quick turnaround. Then he's having... play for Scotland, play for Exeter, Six Nations, play for Exeter, basically played the rest of the season. So I think it could be just a factor down to maybe a little bit of fatigue and stuff in him. I don't know, just a bit of a theory. Because like you say, I mean, he does, doesn't he? He goes back in them fallow weeks and he plays for him. You know, so he's not getting that rest there. When he was with Scotland or Glasgow or whatever, you know, Glasgow aren't going to play him in between, are they? In a Pro 14 or whatever.
No, exactly, yeah.
Fuck, it's going to be called now. So I don't know whether it's a little bit of fatigue in him, whether mentally or physically, I don't know. You know, listen, he's super fit. They're all super fit, aren't they? And the same with maybe like a Johnny Gray. Johnny Gray, like, hardly ever get injured. Now he's starting to pick up niggly injuries and stuff like that. Like, is that because, obviously, same again, he was going back and playing for Exeter as well, wasn't he? So that's my sort of theory. I'm with you. I mean, the other thing is as well, your pace, you know, Hogg's got to be up there with the highest paid players at Exeter, hasn't he?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
You know? And to have someone like that on the bench. I get it maybe for the semi, you know, and then maybe, in fairness, maybe you've then rewarded them from that semi-final.
Yeah.
The thing is, you have the best
all
players.
Season.
Yeah, but I think you know you should have your best players on the pitch, unless they've had an absolute mares. You know, I mean, in Venice, Hoggy has had a few moments towards the tail end of the season, but then he's also had good moments. But I mean, world class players are world class players.
Yeah,
you can't have enough of them on the pitch, can you?
Oh, absolutely not.
A strange one in the final. You know, I'm pretty sure he won't be happy. I mean, I think it's a good thing for the Lions, though, in a way, because, you know, a lot of people are going, you know, oh, he's been dropped now, and does that affect his Lions? I bet you anything, he has a blind. I think he'll probably play fullback on Saturday. I assume he'll probably play fullback on Saturday. And to be fair, Gatland, I think, will be loving it because, you know, all the talk about him being dropped and stuff like that. Like, Gatland loves him.
And I suppose for Gatland as well, he knows Hogg's going to come in with a point to prove as well. No,
that's it. Yeah, he's licking his lips, Gatland, I reckon, because he's just like, he's been shunned. I don't think Gatland's asked. All these people saying he'd be bothered, he's not. If anything, Gatland's like, he's not got injured. He hasn't played that many minutes.
he doesn't care what Rob Baxter's opinion on Hogg is, same as he doesn't care what Eddie Jones's opinion of Sam Simmons was. That's why he's picked him. He'll make his own decisions. All right, he's probably got the help of Townsend and Tandy, etc., to do that. But he doesn't care that thing he isn't getting picked for England. No. So why would he care if Hogg's been on the bench for?
And you know he's going to walk up to him and have a little word and just go prove a point, eh?
Yeah.
And I just think you'll see a reaction. You'll see a reaction, I think, from Hogg. He's too good. Yes, he has, you know, his issues, but what player? No one's the perfect player, but, you know, so it's one of them. I think Gatlin would be buzzing off it, to be honest. Not great for Hogg, obviously. You know, he's not going to be too impressed with it, but yeah, I think I don't think it affects him in any way, shape or form, my opinion.
Yeah. Hopefully not. So moving on, obviously I was gutted, as I'm sure loads of people were, for the Scotland Day and England Day game got called off. It's one of them. Player safety is paramount now, and you know, with COVID being in the camp, it made 100% absolute sense to call the game off. And I think they've all gone home to isolate. They're not even isolating as a squad now. I think they've all gone home and doing it back there, and then they're going to come back together. Obviously, it's not this Saturday, the Scotland Romania game. It's a week on Saturday, so I assume with isolation times, that's all. I've gutted for Matt because he was going to be captain for the Scotland A team. And I'd be interested to see now what they do with the squad for the two games, how much they reduce it and things like that. And if they reduce it, you know, with COVID, they might take smaller numbers and things like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, right, listen, I was gutted because I was open to watch that, like, you know, like hungover, just lie there and watch.
Yeah, because I thought they'd actually both pick quite good teams. So I know it was like Scotland and England A, but they were like, there's some good players in them squads.
England took it way more serious than Scotland. Not in the sense, in some of England selections, I just thought, well, I mean, who am I to say, but I thought they were a bit of a joke. Alex Gaines doesn't have to play for England A. If that stuck for players, that's a joke, isn't it? Sam Underhill was going to play if he wasn't injured. You know, I just think it's England Day versus Scotland Day. You know, Scotland with their selections, I thought it was bang on. You had Ollie Cabell at tight end. I know he's played tight end, but you know he doesn't play tight end, does he? He's a loose head. So I mean, I was disappointed. The only thing I will say, you know, there has to be questions over the Scottish bubble or the training camp. To have that many players.
Well, yeah, but obviously... the players are now, like, because they're not as stringent, the rules, as they were, obviously, back in the Six Nations. So players get to go home at weekends and stuff now. That's why there's more, like, you know, so you can get it from a family member, whereas previously they couldn't go home to families and stuff like that. So I think
Wales players did.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I don't think they could go home every weekend. Or there was certain, like... They could go home to their family, but their family had to be in a bubble. But now the families are going back to work and things like that. It's a lot harder. So the bubbles are less strict, aren't they? So, you know, it can happen. The main thing is they caught it early enough. And, you know, there's been no risk to the England team catching it and things like that because they didn't play the game. So it is what it is, unfortunately. So I'm gutted because I would like to watch the game, but... yeah, it's just one of them things. I think that's it for news, other than then straight into any Lions stuff. So it's on you now, mate.
We'll say that because obviously there's a bit to talk about. Yeah, I've only got a couple of bits. We were talking about the other week that the regions don't actually know their budgets for next season and how much of a joke that was. Well, that's sort of been finalised now. They've had their funding confirmed for the next two seasons. So for next season, it's 23 million between the four regions, and the season after that will be 23.5 million. And obviously that'll be divvied out to all four regions. And the way it's divided up, there's loads of different categories. I think just reading before, one of the categories was it's dependent on how many internationals that you give away to Wales on a regular basis. So it's actually becoming a little bit more equaled out in that sense. I think Scarlets usually have majority. They usually have the highest budget out of all the teams. I mean, if you look at it, 23 million, it's what 5 million each, isn't it? Five, just over 5 million each, or 5.5 to. I think, do you remember we spoke about a pod before, and it was like 5.5 million to Scarlett's, 5 million to someone else, and yeah, so at least they've got the budgets now. They can actually look to start signing some more players, even though the Ospreys just continuously signing players.
They really strengthened the Ospreys, haven't they?
Yeah.
Fair play.
Really good, really good. That's why I say I think they'll be the strongest region next year.
I some of the regions, Scarlett's will.
I think some of the regions are behind. I mean, look at the. I'm going to say the Blues, Cardiff. Now they've just lost, you know, a top international player in Corey Hill, and getting nothing back for it.
Yeah.
So then you, I mean, you've got to go out and sign an international second row, you know, to fill that void. Although I know he doesn't play all the time, but the way the league structured next year, you are going to have your internationals available more.
Yeah.
So that's massive. So yeah, so that's one thing. It's good that they've finally got the budgets, and obviously, hopefully, we can see a bit of recruitment from the four regions, even though there has already been some. And then just a little bit on the Wales under 20s, unfortunately, took an absolute thumping from Ireland. 40 points to 12. There was a few good performances from Wales, but I mean, it was sort of man against boys. Interesting to hear today on the announcement of the teams for tomorrow that the Irish coaches actually were talking to the Welsh coach, and they just said, listen, we think your lads did well. These lads are a year ahead. So a lot of our lads are like 18, 19, whereas their players were like 20. So, I mean, it's not an excuse. I don't think Wales have played well in both their games so far, but yeah. There's, I mean, we've got four players from Exeter in our squad, which is always good, because I think, you know, it's not a bad environment to be in, but
100%, yeah.
Yeah, but like, I mean, they took a beat, and it did look like men against boys last week. And playing France tomorrow, who scraped past Italy, which I thought was a shock, and then I've just found out they basically dropped most of their team, and the first team's back playing Wales tomorrow. So Wales are playing France tomorrow at 5 o'clock, and Scotland are playing Italy at 3.
Yeah.
Or 2:30. So it'll be good. The big thing from the Wales game tomorrow is, I'm going to try and get his name right, Chris Schiunza is going to be starting for Wales. Big things on this lad. He is one of the players who's at Exeter at the moment, and Exeter's assigned him when he was like 16 or something. You know, pay for him to go to university and stuff, so they obviously see something. He's an absolute unit, mate. He's
not a bit bigger than me.
No, mate, no one's bigger than you, are they? Massive, aren't you? He looks like he's got a future in the game. So it'd be interesting to see. There have been big things, and then he wasn't even on the bench for the first game, and he was on the bench for the next game, and then obviously he's going to play tomorrow. So hopefully he goes well. Be a tough game against France tomorrow, but for me, just needs to be improvement in performance, really. I mean, what was it? Someone said our second row, one of the second rows who played against Ireland, that's the first time he's ever played 80 minutes of rugby.
He is.
Yeah. So like at a top level, he's played like schoolboy level, but actually at a professional level, that you've never played 80 minutes of rugby because of COVID and stuff. They've just had no chance to play. So, you know, it's the thing to factor into this under 20s that some of the players who are playing, not just Welsh players, but obviously Irish, Scottish, English, French, Italian, wouldn't have played for 12 to 16 months. So.
It's crazy, isn't it? Crazy.
Yeah. Interesting to watch that tomorrow. And then
Are they put that on the is it going on the Facebook, the Guinness?
Yeah,
you can watch it. Facebook page.
Yeah, if you type in Six Nations, and in fairness, when I've typed in Six Nations, it'll just bring up the video, the live game.
So. I watched a bit of I missed it out. Sorry, the Scotland under 20s, it's England 20s. I watched a bit of it on Facebook. I actually thought Scotland did all right in patches. The forwards, I thought, went quite well. just wasn't much sparkle or stardust in the backs, really. I mean, England were, in the end, it was far too strong for them. But I do think, like, in terms of the forward play and things like that, there was definitely something to build on. And hopefully they can take that into the Italy game on... it's tomorrow, isn't it? It's on a Thursday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because it's all random times now, mate. I mean, yeah. It's like Thursday, then next Wednesday, and then the Tuesday after or something like that. Like, I think it's the last game. It's all a bit mental, but it's hard to probably get them games in on weekends now because you're going to have Wales are playing for the next 3 weekends, Lions are playing, and I know that shouldn't really affect the under-20s, but the only good thing is they've had crowds in on the games, which is decent. Yeah. Right, and then probably the last bit, we'll go on to the Lions. Adam Beard and Josh Navidi getting called up. Unfortunately, injuries to Alan Wynne-Jones and Justin Tipperick has ruled them out. I probably should just mention this through the Japan game, but I suppose it's easier to mention it now. So a bit of controversy came out of these call-ups, didn't they? I don't necessarily think for Navidi. I think Navidi was close anyway.
Yeah, I've not seen anyone say anything negative about Navidi being there, to be fair.
No. To be fair, I think Navidi was, without his injuries, I think was there or thereabouts, if I'm honest. I mean, that back row is ridiculous, isn't it? Some of the players who are missing out and aren't going. I think the thing for Navidi is he covers three positions. I know eight isn't, but you know, he covers six and seven, doesn't he, at an elite level. So there was there. The more controversy was obviously with Adam Beard and the massive social media meltdown. More so from, I'm going to say, the Irish side. And look at it. I mean, it's brilliant, right? And these aren't just normal fans, journalists, you know, who are meant to, they're absolutely destroying. There was one hilarious, I can't remember, I should have wrote down his name. It was this journalist. He wrote it down, destroying Gatlin, destroying Adam Beard, why James Ryan wasn't there, to then, a couple of hours later, someone actually commenting and going, you do know James Ryan's injured.
Yeah.
That's from a professional journalist. So, yeah, so there's a lot of controversy because in Ireland, they thought everyone's going, James Ryan should have definitely been in there. One, so at the end of the day, he's injured. Two, right? It's obvious to me that Gatlin didn't really fancy James Ryan after watching him get dominated by Will Skelton and La Rochelle. Yeah. So who's to say he was next up? You know, we don't know whether he was injured or not. Me personally, I think he was good enough to go. You know, we picked him. And it was a shock when he wasn't originally picked. And then the other obviously controversial one is a lot of people talking about Johnny Gray should have been picked as well. Now, we'll discuss this now, and I will sort of be on Adam Beard's side. I was shocked, though. I'm the same. I was shocked it probably wasn't James Ryan, not knowing he was injured, and I was shocked it wasn't Johnny Gray. So, yeah, a lot of controversy.
Yeah, I mean, I've said to you before, it's not like I don't think Adam Beard's good enough to go. Actually, he's a very, very good player. So it's not like, for me, it's not a massive issue going. It's just when you've seen people talk. I mean, I think Johnny Gray's better, obviously, maybe my Scottish cap on or whatever. But when people and pundits and things like that were picking their teams, like, so I could see the Navidi one. A lot of people have Navidi in his team or there or thereabouts. I don't remember, like, many people having Adam Beard in their team and things like that, whereas you did get people having, like, a Johnny Gray in their team or there or thereabouts again. So I think that's why I was so like, oh my God, Adam Beard's going. What the fuck? You know, what the fuck's that all about? Why is Johnny Gray not going? Or pre, like, we didn't know the injury of James Ryan. So I think that's my thing. I think Adam Beard's a good player. I want him to go well. Would I have picked Johnny Gray ahead of Adam Beard? Yeah, probably. I'm surprised he didn't. Yeah, a little bit. But at the same time, it's a very, very short Lions tour. There's like, what, 6 weeks left of it or something like that now? That's it? Mm-hmm. 5 weeks left? 6 weeks left already, something like that. So Adam Beard's going to come in. He know Gatlin knows him. Gatlin, like, played him in every game in the 2019 Six Nations, I think. And, yeah, and he won a Grand Slam in that year. I think he played, from what I remember of the Six Nations this year, he played pretty well in the Six Nations just gone. I might be making this up, but I'm sure I read somewhere that he just got. Did he play for Dragons?
Ospreys, one player of the season.
Did he just get player of the season at Ospreys? So he's obviously had a good season. So it's like I say, like for me, it's not like I don't think it's like hugely controversial. I think it's slightly controversial just because I think Johnny Gray's a better player, but you know, and apparently he's a line-out caller as well. So there's going to be bits that I'm not like I don't know about that Gatland obviously knows, and that's why he's picked him. So it's like I think it's because he picked like the main draw will be a lot of people because they've always got this. Gatland's got this Welsh bias, and it's like two Welsh players have dropped out for injury, and he's picked two Welsh players straight away. So obviously people are going to jump on it. But you know, it is what it is, and you know, Gatland's a coach, and he doesn't care what anyone else thinks. You know, really, does he? So that's that, yeah. But I hope he goes well. Like all these people, like comment on it. That's not like he's just been told probably the best news of his life that he's going to go to the Lions tour, and he checks on social media and fucking Kenneth from fucking Northern Ireland's going, what the fuck? Why have we not got fucking so and so on this? Yeah. On the tour? It's like leave him alone, join, let him go and do his job.
Yeah. So I will defend Adam Beard. I think Adam Beard was better than Alan Jones in the Six Nations, hands down. There's other things that people aren't taking from it is Adam Beard's genuinely 6'7", 6'8", huge, South Africa, huge. One of his biggest things is being a nuisance, driving mauls defensively, huge in South Africa. You've already made the point, Gatland knows him, Gatland likes him. The other people thing that people aren't getting is it's like you said, it's short turnaround. He has got to do more than any other player. Him and Navidi have got to do more than any other player to play a test match now. More than anyone else. Because they'll be the last player, they'll be the last people to play in games. Everyone else will get a first dibs. The other thing
is, not necessarily.
Well, everyone else got picked ahead and they will play before them in these warm-up games.
I think it'll just depend. They
won't get starts before other people now.
So I think they'll start in the next two games. One of them next two games.
Maybe Navidi. I don't think Adam Beard will. But I don't know. So we'll see. But at the end of the day, they've got more to do, I think, because you've been called up last. The other thing to take into consideration is, who's the forwards coach? Robin McBride. Yeah. Who was the forwards coach when Wales won the Grand Slam when Gatland was last in charge? Knows the line-out calls and stuff like that. Like Adam Beard.
Yeah, Robin McBride.
Robin McBride and Adam Beard. Then. Those are factors. Yes, I get it. James Ryan, doesn't matter. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. And in fairness, I just don't think... I don't know why, but I don't think Gatland fancies him for whatever reason. You'd have to ask him. Pretty successful coach. The other thing, controversy, you brought up, is people like, not many people had Adam Beard in their squads and stuff like that. Like, and obviously there's been a lot of controversy over it. And I get it. I didn't pick him in mine. You didn't pick him in yours. You'd very rarely hear his name in consideration if you put a list. The other person, which was no controversy because it was the original squad, Adam Beard was by far better than Johnny Hill in the Six Nations. By far. And Johnny Hill got selected.
Yeah.
And everyone was just like, I'm happy with that sound. Yeah, he's a big lump. He does well for Exeter. So the whole thing about you don't know with Gatland, do you? End of. You do not know. And I mean, fairness, to me, probably with Adam Beard, he's probably had the final say, hasn't he? In fairness. I don't think Townsend or Tandy or Robin McBride, they'd have all probably gone, yeah, fancy Navidi. He's, you know, good player, very good player, and he covers positions. I think, you know, they'd have probably had the discussion over Johnny Gray.
I don't think Townsend would have been involved in that. I think Tandy might have because of defensive stuff. And obviously, Johnny Gray's like an absolute workhorse.
Yeah, then, I mean...
I'm sure like Robin McBride would have gone, well, Adam Beard does this. And Gatland's gone, hear your point. We're going with Adam Beard. Bang, let's go.
I'll tell you now, I mean... Adam Beard's one, he's improved around the pitch. I mean, Louis Rees-Sammet's great try against Scotland. If you watch Adam Beard in the midfield, and it seems like nothing, but it's a 6'8" row throwing a lovely pass. Yeah. But it's South Africa. It's the same reason why Johnny Hill's been picked. he's gone for size, and he did the same. Ian McGeoghegan did the same thing in 2009. Selected players like Andy Powell and Simon Shaw and stuff, because they want big lumps, they want big units. You're going up against big teams. I'm not saying Johnny Gray's not a big lad, he's not, but he's probably not the biggest second row in the world, is he?
No. And the thing is as well, what was I going to say? Oh, I've lost my trail of thought.
Bear in mind, sorry, I am still shocked, and I wouldn't have picked Adam Beard. I would have probably picked Johnny Gray. I rate Johnny Gray. I've said Johnny Gray is, to me, is very much like Alan Wynne-Jones in the way he plays. You know, I wouldn't have. But when I see some of the things that have been said, you know, I've said it on this podcast. To me now, it doesn't matter what country you're from. You're basically, you're just a British Lion.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, if he'd have pulled out, if he'd have picked Corey Hill, I think that would have been way more controversial. Way more controversial than Adam Beard. He could have picked, you know, all sorts of. I mean, the fact that people were listing people who don't even actually start for their countries. I just, like Navidi, I mean, there's been a bit of hate for Navidi saying, I can't believe Underhill didn't get picked. Underhill is basically under concussion protocols after having his third concussion this season. He's not playing this summer, probably, you'd imagine. And yeah, there's a load of back rows that could have gone. And I think Navidi's gone. One, because I think he was close. And two, he covers three positions.
Yeah. And again, Gatland and Robbie Loves and Bryant him. Know him. They know, yeah, they yeah, know yeah, what they can, yeah. They know what they're going to get from him.
Yeah,
and that's,
yeah.
You know, and then they, when it's such a short tour and they're already missed the first 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to go with people you know and trust. And yeah, that, you know, and unfortunately for the likes of Johnny Gray and Jamie Ritchie and Underhill and whoever, you know, that's just, unfortunately, that's just the way it is in this and kind of environment.
And to be honest, the whole controversy, I think, is kind of covered over the fact, unfortunately, you've got Alan Wynne-Jones and Justin Tipperick missing it. There's been less talk about them being injured than, can't believe Adam Beard's been picked, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I mean, I just think it's horrible for any player, do you know what I mean? You got to feel a bit for Justin Tipperick. He wasn't even meant to play on Saturday. He wasn't even in the 23, was he?
Oh, it wasn't, no, yeah. Probably blames Hamish Watson, doesn't he?
Hamish Watson now. So, you know, you got to feel for him, haven't you? So, I mean, I feel a lot more for Alan Wynne-Jones. He's had that fourth tour, captaining and stuff like that, like, you know, and just... I mean, the fact he dislocated his shoulder, you could tell he was in a bit of pain on Saturday, but at the same time, he just walked off, didn't he, and then came out and sat outside, didn't even put his arm in a sling.
What I liked about it is that he still took in the crowd and things like that, and still, like, kind of celebrated the win, even though obviously he'd have known that he was done.
Yeah, he was done.
He still walked around with the rest of the players and did his, you know, I thought it was really good. And I mean, you've said less from Alan Wynne-Jones, I suppose, in that sense.
We said in the pub, didn't we? As soon as he was walking on, everyone thought it was his wrist. We said, didn't we? As soon, you could tell on his face.
He's done,
His tour was done, you know what I mean? So, yeah, fair dues to him. Like, it is unfortunate. But, I mean, like I said to you on Saturday, it's the nature of the beast, isn't it? It's going to happen. These are only the first few players. I mean, poor Andrew Porter didn't even make the training, did he?
No, yeah.
So... Should we move on to the game? Let's move on to the game. Let's take away the controversy and talk some decent rugby. So, Lions versus Japan. I said to you, I thought it might be a bit of a closer game. It didn't turn out that way. I think it was 28-10, wasn't it?
28? Yeah.
28-10. And pretty convincing. 21-0 at half time. And then obviously, second half got a little bit scrappier. But I thought they actually played quite well. There's a few people who said, oh, if they play like that in South Africa, they get murdered. It's their first game. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I think the thing that shocked me, which I mentioned to you while we were watching it, is I thought they actually played more than I thought they would.
Yeah.
The corner of the wall, I thought they'd build up a score. But in all fairness, I thought they played really well. You can definitely see a few of them players. I know it's early in the tour, but a few of them players put their names down for that test. For that first test,
yeah, agreed.
You know, like you say, I mean, the injuries was a bit of a disappointment, but I think the rest of it was really good. I mean, Dan Bigger got man of the match; he was top class.
He played like he plays for Northampton.
Yeah, I mean, you can just see, and he's mixing up with his kicking game, you know, the kick and chase, which he loves, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But you can see where, you know, obviously I was asking him to be dropped after two games in the Six Nations, and you can see where Pivac's confidence in him, and it kept him in there when no one else did. And you've seen it through the Six Nations where he was unbelievable in the last few games. And then obviously taking that into Northampton where he's been really good form. He was really good. Obviously, what we didn't mention when we talked about the injuries is Murray is now the captain.
Yeah.
Which I think we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I didn't think he was good. I didn't think he
did or didn't.
I didn't think he had a good game. Thought the back row played really well. So obviously Tipperick went off. It was a bit disjointed after that because you had Faletau.
But, yeah, two eights and
I mean, it's a big back row, isn't it?
Yeah, and that, you know, didn't have a seven, did you? Really?
Yeah. I mean, but Ty Burns kind of that, but I know what you're saying. But I thought Jack Conan went pretty well. Doohan played really well, put himself about, got a good try.
He was busy. I mean, I think you could see as well, you could see how busy he was from his try, because that try started on the left wing when Doohan was there, and he's followed it all the way across and then got a little poacher's try at the end. So,
they overload the wing. I think that's something they thought about, because if you looked at it, you had Doohan, Adams and Sanjay, didn't you?
Yeah.
All in that vicinity. Yeah, he took his try. I mean, try, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was a lot of times as well during the game that, although he didn't always get it, the option was there. He was on Bigger's shoulder quite a bit. Looking for that. And, you know, and Bigger will give it him sometimes. And obviously sometimes he won't. You know, it'll be a decoy. But it was good to see him busy, looking for work.
Getting involved, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a few moments. I mean, I watched the game again yesterday. There's a few moments under the high ball and stuff, which, listen, you know, is what it is now.
Yeah.
And it was a moment where I thought he was going to get gassed by the Japanese winger, but in fairness to him, he got back and a good cover tackle. So thought he played well. Josh Adams' try, although it was only a few yards out, very, very good finish.
Yeah.
And I thought he did all right. The thing that impressed me was probably Bundiaki and Henshaw.
Yeah.
That is looking like a centre partnership for the tests.
Henshaw for me is this tour's Jonathan Davis.
I mean,
he's just quality, and you know, he's as good a defence as he is an attack. He's just very, very good player, and I just think he's a bit like kind of like Jonathan Davis in the way he plays and the way he's gone about his business as well.
Yeah, I think I prefer him at 12. I'd probably have him the other way around, but I think Henshaw's at 13 because he's probably a better defender than Bundiaki. Henshaw is chopping people down.
I feel sorry for Chris Harris because he's probably going to play 13 with Owen Farrell at 12, so he's probably not going to get any ball in the next game. Because you got Daly and Harris, so you've only really got, I mean,
you've got one 12.
Got one proper 12 in Bundiaki, because I know Henshaw does both, but Daly is 13 or back three, and Harris is only really a 13, or he can do a job on wing. So
for Ireland, they play the opposite way around.
Say again?
For Ireland, Henshaw plays 12 and Aki plays 13.
Yeah, but Gatland won't do that. He doesn't. That's not how he does it, is he?
Well, no. I mean, to be fair, when you looked at him, I thought they did really well. I mean, Gatland will like Aki because he is a big lad, and he has got, you know, I think people have kind of written him off as just a big lad who crashes it up. But, you know, you have to remember, he's played Super Rugby before. He's not without skills.
He's not slow either.
He's not without skills. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. Is he an Owen Farrell passer? Is he a Finn Russell type? Is he a silky smooth 12? No, he's not. But he's not without skills. You don't play Super Rugby at a high level without having skills. He's not crash and bash, is he?
Is with him at 12, with Russell at 10, Russell putting him through little gaps and things like that, that could be quite exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the best thing about this Lions team, isn't it? There's some combinations there where you think really good. So, I mean, like you say, I thought it was a really good game. I was more than happy with how it went. I thought it'd be a lot closer. I know Japan hadn't played since the last World Cup. And I know they had the warm up, and it apparently it wasn't great. But these are the majority of them players have all played together before. Whereas, you know, some of these Lions players were making their first starts or playing the first games for Lions.
Yeah.
And had, you know what, a week and a half in Jersey, training. So, I mean, for that, I mean, I thought Ken Owens went well. I thought the line-out went really well, as you know, considering how it went. I mean, when Alan Wynne-Jones went off, and we'll get onto the Conor Murray thing. Now, when Alan Wynne-Jones went off, Ken Owens became the captain.
Yeah.
Which is another really strange thing when you think what's happened now. So, obviously, we'll talk about now. With Alan Wynne-Jones going off the tour, Conor Murray has now been announced as the, let's say, tour captain.
Yeah,
which is how they worded Alan Wynne-Jones. Same again. I mean, to be fair, weirdly enough, in Ireland, no controversy. He is the man for the job, which is fucking mental. I just think, me personally, I'll get behind him. I'm not going to be one of these haters. Would I have picked him? No. I do believe there's probably people who are better served. But I think it's a little indication that you see Conor Murray starting the tests. And if fairness, when you see the scrum halves who have been picked, you kind of knew that anyway. You know, Ali and Gareth Davis would have had to do something monumental or injuries to start the test. So I get it in that sense, but I do think there's players there. I think, you know, Ken Owens, obviously I'm Welsh biased, but I do think Ken Owens should have had a shot with it. You know, you got Hogg, who captain Scotland, although, you know, I've always said I wouldn't have a fullback as captain. You've got Owen Farrell, and like you say, he is part of the leadership group. He was voted in to the leadership group. He had the most votes.
So that's the one that I said to you before we came on the pod. That's the one that gets me. I want Farrell to be captain or anything like that. I don't understand why before the game, I think it was a couple of days before the game, Gatland came out and said, oh, the play, we had a vote and about leadership group and Owen Farrell got the most votes. So, like, from that, in my head, I was like, well, if Alan Wynne-Jones does get injured, Owen Farrell's going to be captain because that's who the players want. I get that England have got the most players in the team and that's maybe why, you know, it could have just been the England players voting for him. Who knows? But for that, like, I'm like, well, why? And then to make Conor Murray captain, which I've not really got any issues with, if I'm honest. I'm just like, why did he come out and even say that? There's no need for him to say it because it's not meant anything. If anything, it's a bit of a kick in the teeth to Owen Farrell to not be given captaincy when he's like, well, all the players want me to be captain, but...
Well, no, but you don't know what the leadership group's for. It could be for, you know, they have social, you know, they have a social group, don't they? The social secretaries or whatever.
Owen Farrell ain't going to be social, is it?
No, of course, no. But like the leadership group just could be discussing anything to do with the group, couldn't it?
Yeah, but obviously he must have some kind. I mean, also he's Saracens captain and England captain.
England captain, yeah. But I think, I mean, to be fair, there was no chance after the way he captained England and the way, obviously, the Wales game, there was a bit of controversy or a lot of controversy. There was no way he was going to captain the Lions after the race.
But Conor Murray then doesn't captain anyone.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. So that's my point. That's my point. You know, I think, you know, the Six Nations probably wiped out Owen Farrell. Gatland, I don't think, would have a fullback as captain. So I think that's why Hogg hasn't got it. You know, I mean, you spoke about Ian Henderson. He could have potentially.
I thought Henderson would have been a good shout because I'm only guessing, like, obviously, my opinion now. Like, for me, the second row is Henderson and Itoje now. Itoje obviously would have been another one, a lot of skills, but obviously plays on the edge and all this.
But he doesn't, he also doesn't captain Ulster all the time.
No, exactly, yeah.
Cooney does, doesn't he? So,
yeah.
If you look at it, they're not thin on captaincy. Yeah. You know, but I mean, the other thing, you know, you could say, you know, I don't know. I mean, Ken Owens doesn't captain Wales, but he does captain Wales sometimes.
And he captained Scarlets as well.
And he captained Scarlets for years. Yeah. You know, it's a forward. A lot of people talking about Itoje. I just think that's, nothing against him because obviously he's a world-class player. Your captain can't be fucking whooping and hollering every time something happens on the pitch and patting people fucking out. You know what I mean? As great as a player he is, he's never captained anyone. He doesn't seem like the sort of player. I would, to be fair, a player like that now, you're just like, I wouldn't want to put it on him. Just go out and play. You've got enough to worry about. So, yeah, I'll get behind Conor Murray. You know, I think that was a bit... That to be fair, that was a shock that, you know, no one gave a shit about that. There wasn't that much controversy about that, was there? Weirdly enough, in Ireland. Not that I hate the Irish, I like the Irish, but sometimes your journalism is fucking shocking and your commentators.
It's not. It's up there with Wales Online, mate.
Yeah, Wales Online are bad. Sometimes they're all right, sometimes they're bad. But decent. It's a good start to the tour for me. I'm looking forward to Saturday's game. 5 o'clock kickoff. Yeah,
team just tomorrow, after, is it?
Yeah, what's that?
Hopefully.
Usually it was named 11 o'clock, wasn't it, last Thursday? So it should be 11 o'clock again. Over here,
I thought it was named last because I thought we talked about it last week, though.
Oh, yeah, it was named on Wednesday, wasn't it?
Yeah. But so obviously a bit later. But I imagine he's trying to get all the players up to speed. So, yeah.
To be fair, it's probably a lot like Wales. They probably knew that team that was going to play against Japan and just named it, didn't they? Like Wales sort of have had this training camp in North Wales and have just named the team early. I mean, the last bit on the lines, obviously, because now they're in South Africa and it sounds like COVID's proper kicking into gear in South Africa. So it sounds like the tour could be changing around altogether. Nothing actually been said, but you've got, you know, the tour games. I think they're in Gauteng, and that's sort of, they're looking now potentially to move in every game into Cape Town, which is not at altitude, which is what the Lions would 100% prefer, not being at altitude. There's rumours that the warm-up games could be cancelled and literally just be the three test matches. That would be horrendous if that was the case. And to be honest, if that was the case, I'm happy it's in South Africa. Don't get me wrong, it should be. But with us being able to have fans back, you know, was it 60,000 in Wembley for the semi-final and the final? If it was just the test matches... It just makes, why didn't we just have it here? You could have had I know it wouldn't have been a tour, and I know it wouldn't have been the same, but it's not the same. We spoke about it. I think if it just ended up being three test matches, just think of the players, you won't even get the opportunity to wear a Lions shirt at all, whether it's a test match or not. So hopefully that doesn't happen. And the last bit of news on that is apparently the players who aren't involved in the games will be banned from the grounds after staying in the hotels. You'd have the players come in, you know, at that shit, because they're all in bubbles and they're all fucking together, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure that the Lions players aren't going to mix with everyone else. They'll just sit in one part of the stadium. So that's another rumour. Nothing's been finalised yet. I think it's just one of the things, but you know, they've been talking about contingency plans, and I think when you start talking about contingency plans is when you start to get a bit worried, you know. Fingers crossed everything stays the same, they can have all these tour games, because there's not a lot. I think there's Saturday, Wednesday, and then just Saturdays then, right?
There's only two Wednesday games, is there?
There's only two midweek games, mate. Yeah, I was looking at it the other day, because we're away, you're in Newcastle, I'm in Blackpool for the first test.
Yeah, we've already booked into a sports bar, mate, on it.
Yeah, so it's look, so hopefully
I'm quite happy to be in Newcastle on the piss watching rugby.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, well, buzzing in Blackpool. I'm going one of our rugby lads as well. So yeah, it's not too bad. So yeah, only two midweek games. Like you say, there's only five games. I think they've got five warm up games. It's Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. Yeah, so five games now for all the players to kind of get an opportunity. So you basically got to. That's the thing about, you know, Bigger having such a blinder at the weekend and other players playing so well. You're not really, you know, Bigger isn't probably going to play till Wednesday, maybe now. and he might not. He might even be on the bench, mightn't he? So,
because it depends whether he gives Farrell and Russell both a go at 10.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, for me, I just play Bigger and Russell at 10 now. You know what Farrell can do at 10. Give Bigger and Russell the 10, mix it up with Farrell at 12 and see if he can, you know, play Farrell with Daly at 13 or Harris at the, you know, I'm trying not, you know, I'm not trying to not get Harris again, but you know what I'm saying, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so interesting, exciting stuff though for the Lions. Also, this weekend, so obviously the Lions are playing, the Golden Lions this weekend, 5 o'clock kickoff, and that will be right after Wales Canada, which is at 3 p.m. at the Principality with, I think, 8,500 fans. But they've actually named the squad or the team early. A bit more experience than I thought it would be. So I'll just go run through the team now. You've got Nicky Smith, Elliot D and Dylan Lewis in the front row. You've got Ben Carter, who's making his debut, and Will Rowlands in the second row. You've got not a bad back row considering we've got so many players missing. You've got Moriarty, James Botham and Aaron Wainwright. Now in the backs, you've got Thomas Williams, Callum Sheedy, Tom Rogers on one wing, making his debut. You've got Foxy and Halaholo in the centres. Joan Holmes on the other wing. And then Lee Halfpenny, fullback, who's actually winning his 100th cap. So congratulations, Lee. Not a bad effort at all, 100 caps. And then you've got a bench of Ryan Elias, Gareth Thomas, who's also making his debut. Leon Brown, Josh Turnbull, Tane Basham, making his debut. Kieran Hardy, Ben Thomas, also making his debut. And Nick Tompkins. So five uncapped players in. Interesting that Pivac came out and said Jared Evans would be starting. He wanted to give him a start. He played really well, or he'd gone really well in training, but unfortunately hurt his ankle, so that's why Sheedy's in. But yeah, I mean, far more experience than I thought it would be, considering Canada haven't played since the World Cup. You know, pretty happy with the team. I think when I wrote it down here, I'd have probably made 1, 2, 3, 4. I'd have made 5 changes to the team. I mean, I like the look of it. To me, Leon Brown should be starting at tight head. Maybe saving him to start in against Argentina, in fairness. But Leon Brown was, you know, on the bench for Wales and the Six Nations and did well when he came on, with Thomas Francis actually pulling out. I forgot to mention this player's pulled out. With Thomas Francis pulling out with injury, you know, he should be the starting one. So, you know, Dylan Lewis, for me, I don't know, I think he just needs to go back and play some club rugby. James Botham, I'd have given Tane Basham his first start. But, I mean, I'm not bothered that James Botham's playing. James Botham's a very good young player. But I thought, because it's Canada, you could have probably not played what is probably your first choice back row.
Yeah.
Maybe give Tane Basham a start, and then both of them could have easily come back in against Argentina. And I started Kieran Hardy over Thomas Williams. And I'd probably throw Tompkins in instead of Foxy. I don't think Foxy's the 12, I've always said it, but I know they're trying to get him some sort of form, but I just don't think you need to play him against Canada. And I would have, this sounds harsh, I wouldn't have played Halfpenny. And, you know, same again, I think Halfpenny could be saved till Canada. Maybe some of it's because they haven't played that much in recent times, but I'd have thrown Yoan Lloyd in at fullback against Canada.
So I, for once, because I'm usually the one that says, oh, why are they playing Halfpenny? I don't mind them playing Halfpenny in this game because you've got a debutant on one wing and you've got Jonah Holmes on the other, is that right?
Yeah.
And how many caps has Jonah Holmes got?
Yeah, 3 or 4.
So I don't mind that they've put a Lee Halfpenny in there who's defensively as good as they come and covers the backfield so well. And his experience, he'll talk to them to all the way through the game, and he'll probably run them through the game. So I actually see why Halfpenny's gone in and started. I think that's fair enough. So I've got no real issue with that one.
My only thing is Canada. You haven't played for 2 years.
Yeah, I get it. It's Canada haven't played for 2 years, but you still want to win the game, and you know, and you don't want to, you know, if you've got back three that have got 3 or 4 caps between them or whatever, and you know, and there's high balls coming up and things like that, and because that's what I would do on them if none of them have, you know, they've got no experience. I'd put loads of pressure on the back three,
And, you know, there's no real leader then to, like, can control that back three. I think with Harper there, you just take a bit of pressure off, especially the new guy that hasn't played at all, and even John Holmes, and just be like, look, Halfpenny's there, he's your cool head, you know, and then the next game, you know, you can put, you know, you can change it up. But I wasn't surprised when I saw the two wingers that it was Halfpenny playing fullback.
No, I mean, I see what you're saying. I'm a bit more, like to be a bit more adventurous. It's kind of the, you know, if you look at that forward pack, so you've got Ben Carter making his debut. Interestingly enough, Ben Carter has never played in front of fans because he's only made his debut this year for the Dragons. But, you know, Pivak's already said he sees a lot of similarities between him and Alwyn Jones. I think same things like stupid. You know, Wales will not see another Alwyn Jones probably in my lifetime, if ever. But if you look at the rest of the pack, you know, I get what you're saying. Yeah, Canada are going to kick and stuff like that. Like, but we should be dominating. I don't want to say this because it sounds arrogant, but look at the forward pack. Nicky Smith, Elliot D, Dylan Lewis, all played lots of Six Nations games. Will Rowlands, fair enough, probably least experience. A back row of Moriarty, Botham and Wainwright. Moriarty and Wainwright played in World Cups. Then you've got Thomas Williams and Callum Sheedy. So in fairness, Callum Sheedy hasn't played a lot of games for Wales, but he wasn't meant to play this weekend. And then you got Foxy, who's a lot of experience. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I do see what you're saying. Maybe, to be fair, Halfpenny's there as well to take pressure off Callum Sheedy kicking. But no one else is playing fullback. To me now, no one else is playing fullback for these three games. Halfpenny will play fullback for all three games, in fairness. If you look at the squad that's been picked, I think he was him and Halim Amos are the only other fullbacks, and maybe Halim Amos will play one test against Argentina. But I'm pretty happy with the team. I'm quite happy with Tompkins being on the bench, Tane Basham on the bench. Interesting to see how he goes. Bit of a live wire at seven. Ben Thomas, who I think is a cracking young player. I'd like him to develop into a 12 because I think he's got them silky skills I was talking about before at 12. Decent. I mean, strong team. We should be able to win this game, you know, convincingly. But then I said that against, was it Georgia?
Yeah.
During the Autumn Nations Cup as well. And I said that against, you know, Italy and things like that before. So we'll see. Hopefully, we've still got that bit of momentum from the Six Nations, and hopefully they play a bit.
The actual main talking point, I suppose, about the game, we've not even mentioned what Rob Howley's return to Welsh rugby, isn't it, really? Obviously, Wales Canada. He's a Canada head coach, isn't he?
It's not. Yeah, no, he's not. He's assistant coach.
He's back coach.
The other interesting, I think, is more interesting than Howley. And I say this because, you know, Rob Howley coming back after all his controversy. Byron Haywood, who was sacked as defence coach after or during the Autumn Nations Cup, is now an advisor for Canada. So his first game after being
mugged off by Wales.
No, they got rid of him. Yeah. There was rumours that he quit because of the environment and everyone was blathered. Those were all bollocks, as seen in the Six Nations, because if he didn't have control over everything, they wouldn't have been able to do that. But Byron Haywood, who has been sacked or agreed to part ways, we'll say, his first thing back into rugby is at Millennium Stadium, where he didn't get to coach Wales. But for Canada, against the coaching team that got rid of him and Gethin Jenkins and stuff. So that's an interesting story as well. So, yeah, I mean, obviously we lost Navidi and Adam Beard, so they called up Seb Davis, Reece Davis, and Samson Lee, which is good to see Samson Lee back. He's had so many injury problems, but I think he's a sort of a forgotten man, really. Very, very good player. Interestingly enough, they didn't pick a back rower. They picked Reece Davis and Seb Davis because they can play a bit of both. That annoys me. From Gatler, from Pivak, you could have picked like a Jack Morgan or, you know, another youngster in the back row. Even if they're not going to play, just get them in the squad. You don't need two more second rows. But apparently, rumour is that Pivac actually doesn't fancy that Jack Morgan at all. Bear in mind, he's just got Scarlett's Player of the Year, not Young Player of the Year, Player of the Year. But yeah, interesting. I'm looking forward to it. It's a decent game. Decent weekend, to be fair. You've got Ireland, Japan at one. Wales, Canada at three. Ireland, Japan at one. Wales, Canada at three. Lions versus Golden Lions at seven.
Five.
And you got, if you want to watch, see how the South Africans do, you got South Africa versus Georgia, which is Friday night, 7 o'clock kickoff.
Got New Zealand versus Tonga as well in the morning.
Yeah. Is that on TV?
I don't know. It'd be on Sky, won't it?
Oh, I hope so. It's like 8:05 kickoff or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So plenty of rugby on this weekend. Plenty to talk about next week. Yeah, so we'll do a review of the Lions game. We'll do a review of Wales, Canada. Hopefully,
yeah,
we'll probably
do a review of both Lions games.
Well, we'll be watching the Lions games when we record next week. I will be.
Well, we could finish the Lions game and then record straight after it.
Yeah, maybe if you want. Yeah, we'll see what time it finishes. Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, it's a good idea. We'll just record a bit later.
Yeah.
All right. Lovely.
Cool, cool, cool.
Great news. Right, thank you very much. The thing that we didn't speak about last week is it's our 1 year anniversary. Well, it's been past our 1 year anniversary of doing the pod.
Who'd have thought we'd have done it all year?
I mean, we missed quite a few weekends, in fairness. We are a bit shit, but yeah, who'd have thought we'd had that much to talk about? And in fairness, thank you very much for the people who've listened.
All three of you.
Three is better than zero, mate. Even if it is my mum, your dad, and
Paz.
Paz. Oh, wise though you've listened, mate. No. Never enough of talking shit anyway, don't they? So
yeah,
thank you very much to everyone who's listened. We've lasted 12 months. We're going to crack on. We're going to carry on. Obviously, there's a lot going on in the next couple of months with the Lions, and obviously Scotland playing Romania, Georgia, Wales playing Canada and Argentina. So loads to talk about, yeah. But thank you very much for listening. Please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Always hear podcasters saying that, so I thought I'd say it myself. yeah, brilliant. Thank you very much for all the support wherever you listen. And we have got a following that is not just in the UK. We've got a following in a few countries, haven't we? So we've done really well. Yeah, well done. Thank you very much. All right. I'm good. You good?
All good, mate. All good.
All good then. So thank you very much for listening. And we'll be back next week. Thank you very much.
Oi. Oi. Oi.